back. This podcast is scheduled for one fall. With a 60-minute time limit coming out of the black corner at a combined weight of 666 pounds, recording to you from a dilapidated boat. I'm your boy, Xander Hobbs. This is
Bobby B, the five-star podcasting machine.
And once again, we're bringing you another edition of the
Wrestleocalypse. It is upon us.
Yes, and we are back again with a lot of hard-hitting shit to listen to. So let's just get right back into it.
Absolutely. So first up, I got to call out my main man, Matt Riddle, over with the crowd. He's putting on excellent matches with anybody he's getting in the ring with. He's a legit shooter, so it's believable. He's got the Stone Bro personality unlocked. And he's other than Sami Zayn, he is the most interesting thing about the Bloodline right now.
For sure, for sure. And then he's got a match tonight against Seth Rollins for the U.S. title. The newly won U.S. title, I should say. But I have you hear the saying, can he beat Reigns? And hopefully he would get another match out of them because they had one a while back, didn't they?
Yeah, and it was good. And Reigns was really selling for Riddle. And, they obviously don't feel that Randy Orton is coming back anytime soon, so they're pulling the trigger. He's getting a singles push, and I don't think he can beat Reigns. I don't think he's the guy who's going to take the strap off of Reigns. But, I mean, obviously he's competing for a title tonight. But do you think that maybe they've got plans for him or he could fit into a title scene somewhere else on the card?
Maybe he beats Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins was just a placeholder. So I don't know if they'll switch the titles that quick, but I think that would be a good move to have him, kind of be like the test for the main event. I think he can main event already, but this is just for him holding a title.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I mean, yeah, I could see him like, I think he's got a high ceiling.
Oh, for sure. Like, and he's the type of guy that they like. He's over with the crowd. He's a shooter, like you said, and he's just puts on great matches. He can talk on the mic. Like, he checks all the boxes. So I don't see why they wouldn't pull the trigger on him, honestly.
Yeah. And obviously Triple H is doing it. So I'm really happy with it. Like I said, he's been putting on good matches, and it's good that they finally found something for him. And then also somebody who's coming back into his own. Just really excited about this Mox Hangman match. I think Hangman's promo work on Wednesday was really good. Reestablishing how good he is after all of the nonsense that's been going on.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm excited for the match too. I thought that was a great exchange between the two. And it's just because that match didn't really have any heat until this past Wednesday. Like, that now that they ran the promo and everything, we know that Mox is probably going to retain and MJF is still lurking around with the chip. So I'm sure it'll still be a good match though.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's some chatter that maybe, Hangman beats Mox and then MJF cashes in, which seems like a lot for just like a random.
Right.
Dynamite in October,
Yeah.
But AEW does crazy things. Did you catch any of the Rampage?
I didn't see Rampage. That's the only one I didn't watch.
Yeah. The Mox and Claudio had Butcher and the Blade, which was good. It was a good match. I'd like to see more of Claudio in some singles action.
Yeah, it seems like ever since he dropped the ROH title, or even when he had the ROH title, he only defended it once and he lost it. So, I mean, come on. It's coming to the point for me to be, it seems like Tony Khan doesn't know what to do after the initial pop and the 2 week honeymoon phase is over, and like these guys just get lost. He doesn't know what to do from there.
Yeah, it's like he goes for the next one. Where's the next new toy? You know, right. But it's like, you know, the Blackpool Combat Club is one of the best things they got going. And it's like,
yeah, and they're jobbing him out. So it's weird. They had so much momentum. And then ever since they got into this feud with the Jericho Appreciation Society, they just jobbed them out. Like we're going to see on the next round right here that you have listed.
Oh yes, the Daniel on Daniel crime.
Yeah, and honestly, it seems like that's the thing you kind of saw coming, because it was too. It didn't really pass the sniff test to me or Daniel Garcia. And then there's the red herring on the tag match where he hit him with the belt. I don't know. This thing's beginning to be a bit much with the Jericho stuff, and I'm a Jericho fan, but it's just too much of him winning, and he's already over. This is supposed to be a vehicle to get the other people over. So what are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't really know, like, you know, I guess that maybe it's like Tony Khan is leaning on Chris Jericho and Mox and Daniel Bryan to help right the ship in a sense, if everything we've heard about their backstage trials and tribulations is indeed true. But like, I love Chris Jericho. We've talked about Chris Jericho in glowing terms over and over again on the podcast. But I feel like he's taking advantage of the situation with quite a bit of self-promotion now. Yeah. And it's like, unfortunately, you know, it's become kind of this like cycle, this repetition with, okay, so it was like his stables, and then he gets the title, and it's like, and it's just kind of the same thing over and over again. Like, I miss, where's the bubbly Chris Jericho?
Yeah. And he shouldn't be the focal point of anything. Like I said, he's already over. Like, use this to get some other guys. And then on top of that, they're jobbing out Danielson. Like, when's the last time he's won a match?
Yeah, but I'm sure Bryan Danielson has plenty of say in his booking.
That's true. So, that's true.
You know, I agree. But it's also like there's probably some long-term storytelling going on.
There is, and they better get to it, because I'm getting bored, because I'm tired of seeing this rinse, wash, repeat thing of Jericho. Like, it's too much. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all good. And then I was going to say also, on Rampage, we got to see, they did the, it was Cage and the Gorillas of War, I think, right? Is that what they're called?
The Gorillas of Destiny?
Thank you. Yes, the Gorillas of Destiny. And they went up Spears and FTR.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I thought it was really good.
Dang, I didn't even know that. I would have tuned in.
And I'm just like super stoked. Yeah, man. That's like two really strong showings by Brian Cage. A little bit of Gorillas of Destiny. I like it.
So, but
yeah, it's interesting. I feel like they maybe fit a little bit better in the Ring of Honor side than maybe AEW side, but you know, right. I'm not hating on it. I'm not opposed to it. And did you, then also like, Sean Spear cut a pretty emotional promo talking about how his mom passed away and why he hasn't been on TV. And like the Canadian crowd went crazy. So, but yeah, it was a good match. FTR only puts on good matches because they're the best tag team on the planet.
That's right.
But yeah, it's crazy. I was looking at YouTube as well today, and like AEW, just they create a lot of content themselves, man. They've got a lot of shit going on. Like, they've had 85 episodes of Dark, and they have 7 matches on the Dark episode, right? Right. And it's like, then you have Rampage, which is like 3 or 4 matches, and then you've got Dynamite, and that's just a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff. Well, they got a big roster too. So I, at least these guys are getting in like reps and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Definitely agree. But moving on. Did you see who's back again?
Oh, the Beast Incarnate.
Yes.
Is back again. I liked it. His
cowboy hat.
Yep. And he gave Lashley a receipt from the Royal Rumble. So it cost him his US title. So we finally get that legit program between Brock and Lashley, which I don't think will disappoint.
I don't either. Like, I mean, Lashley is obviously a physical specimen, and the way that Brock has really leaned into this new fun-loving character, I think is going to bring a lot of entertainment to the program that just Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, I don't think it would be quite as fun, you know? So I think this will be really good. And I think that they'll put on some decent matches.
Yeah, I think they will too. And there won't be as many shenanigans as there was in their last one. So I think this one will just be a straight up fight, which will be good.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, perhaps we see where that goes. But do you think Lashley retains?
Well, he's not the champion anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Seth Rollins beat him when he was injured.
Right. Seth Rollins beat him, and yeah, interesting. Makes me wonder what's going on Raw right now.
Yeah, I know. I was going to tune into that. But yeah, it's a little past.
We just got started.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And so I guess I did want to ask you what your feelings on National Scissoring Day were, and the whole scissoring gimmick with the, I would say, I mean, this is like Billy Gunn's getting pops like he hasn't heard in
years,
20 years.
I mean, every time they say scissoring, I just think of South Park. So that one episode, if the people that out there that know, if you know, you know. So, I mean, it's over. And I don't think it's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, I like Private Party. I just, it's crazy how over they are. But yeah, good for them. If it's working, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, no, the Acclaimed are the Scissors.
Yeah, that's right. Not Private Party. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Private Party are stuck in a nonsense storyline.
Yeah, but then they get their Matt Hardy and them are all owned by the firm, or I think the firm, right?
I think so. I don't know. I'm like, that is not something I'm interested in at all.
No, me neither.
But did you catch anything else this week of interest from the wrestling world?
No, I watched SmackDown, and there's more rumbling between Jey Uso and Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn wrestled a match, and Roman Reigns told him to make sure that Sami wins, and Jey pushed Sami to get him to get the pin, and so, but Sami thinks he did it on his own, so. We'll see more of what happens with that, but that was the most only thing. And then the Fatal 4-Way match that had Rey Mysterio instead of Karrion Kross, because there was a scrap with Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross in the parking lot. So SmackDown was whatever. I tried to watch it to see Bray Wyatt, but I think I fell asleep, so I didn't get to see that.
Yeah, it was interesting. He had like a promo as himself. And then there was the guy who wore the mask, came on the screen, was wearing the mask that he wore last week or at Extreme Rules. So they're like building some intrigue for that. Like, I thought Rey Mysterio was in a program on Raw, but apparently now he's on SmackDown. That was confusing.
Yeah, well, because he was going to quit, And then Triple H said he'd be exclusively on SmackDown. And he put him in that Fatal 4-Way match. And now he's going to fight Gunther.
Which still makes no sense, but I guess that's fine.
Yeah. It's just to get another notch under Gunther's belt, you know?
Yeah. Did you see the... this posted on Instagram or Twitter a picture of him given the chops to Solo Sikoa.
Oh, no, I didn't see
like,
that.
Yeah, and he kind of hinted that he's like starting with like the bloodline's going down and starting with Solo Sikoa. So there's been rumblings on the IWC that possibly there's going to be a... what is it? The bruising brutes, brawling bruiser brutes, whatever they are.
Brawling brutes.
Yeah, versus the bloodline, which would be interesting.
Oh, that'll be cool.
But we'll see if it actually happens.
Yeah. But now that we've got that out of the way, I've got a question for you and all of you out there. Who likes fitted hats? I like fitted hats. Bobby likes fitted hats.
We all like
fitted hats. So if you want to get a cool... fresh design that's not sports oriented for that cold weather and just to look cool in general, take your asshole over to the Capologist. You can go on the Capologist on their Instagram page or the Capologist.com.
Check it out.
And now we're going to take a quick powder. We'll come back to you with some cool shit. Once again, we're back with your favorite segment, my favorite segment, Bobby's favorite segment, and the Dark Lord's favorite segment. What do we like to call it?
We like to call it cool shit.
And cool shit always starts out with...
the motherfucking mailbag.
All right, let's hit it.
Los Ingobernables de Los Angeles asks, correctly, just reminding everybody the format, definitive statement, then question. I like it. Miami has been a mess since the Tua debacle. Yes. Do you think they can recover from this and gain back the momentum they had at the beginning of the season? That's tough because I think it all depends on how Tua looks when he comes back.
Right.
You know, and they really kind of have zero room for him to get take a hard hit to the head again.
Right.
So I think that is really like dependent. And I do think that if Tua comes back, looks great, fired up, makes some plays early on, I think that they have a good chance to get a good win against the Steelers. Not that the Steelers are any good. I mean, but it's still, it would be a good momentum builder and to get Tua through the game, you know, is like super necessary, but their division is pretty stacked and it's going to be tough to come back. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. They have a pretty strong division.
Yeah. I mean, the Bills are the Bills. They look great. I mean, the Jets are continuing to surprise everybody, including us. So
they've got
their work cut out for us, or they've got their work cut out for them. But it really just hinges on if they can keep Tua healthy and if he shows some of the same improvements that he did at the beginning of the season.
Right.
All right. Numero dos. Steve Austin's beer thrower. With WrestleMania being in Los Angeles and The Rock planting the seeds for a match with Roman Reigns, what are the chances of a match between the two? And do you guys want to see it? All right. So we're already starting to get the questions about Reign or The Rock And I think this is going to be the slow drone of this is going to go on up until WrestleMania actually happens.
Yeah, I don't want to see it. I really don't want to. I think it's a waste of time. I don't think Roman Reigns needs to fight The Rock. Like, why does he need to fight him? And I know it's WrestleMania and they always want to do it big and stuff like that, but why don't you just build somebody up from like that you already have? Maybe Cody Rhodes comes back early, get him in there. I don't know, but I don't want to see The Rock, and I don't know what the chances are of it happening. I hope he does. He has another movie that he has to do. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I could totally see them booking that and then having Bron Breakker win Money in the Bank and then cash in at WrestleMania.
I'd like that.
And then we finally get the strap off of Roman Reigns to the person who is increasingly looking like the only superstar on the roster capable. He's got the legacy, just like Reigns.
The only people
powerful.
I mean, Bron Breakker, yeah. I'd like to see Cody Rhodes do it. He's got the legacy too. But he's out for, I don't know when he's coming back. So I don't know how.
It was interesting because I read an article talking about, you know, basically like recovery's going good. He can't really lift a lot with his upper body. And they were talking about like seeing if he could come back in time for day one. And then like the next day they're like, oh, day one's canceled.
It's canceled.
Like, we're not even, which is good. I'm glad Triple H is changing some of that nonsense up with the live premium live events / pay-per-views.
Too many.
They specifically said, did you see the article?
I didn't see it, but I just saw that they canceled day one.
Yeah. They were saying that they're also going to look at changing or eliminating some of the gimmick pay-per-views. Cause there's
good.
Like a Hell in the Cell match should be protected and not just be like a
pay-per-view.
It's October, whatever it is. It's like, now we have Hell in the Cell.
Same with Money in the Bank. They should change that up too. And Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
They should change all that.
They should only have four big pay-per-views and then.
Yeah. That would give somebody like some incentive to watch the shows. Cause that back in the day, the shows built up to the pay-per-views and that would just, you know, that would be ideal. Let's just say that.
Yeah. But I think right now they just got to figure out how they're going to get that strap on Bron Breakker.
There we go.
All right. Jet fueled Oos. This question is more about you guys. Keeping it short, what got you guys into wrestling?
We had this question before.
I think we've touched on it before, but I mean, it's like when we grew up, if you were a little boy, it's just what, like, it was ubiquitous. It was on TV on the weekends and they had marketing and cool toys. And then, you know, I remember the first WrestleMania video game for Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just something my dad and I watched when I was younger. And, you know, as a kid, you see these two huge guys that look like superheroes pretty much that are human fighting each other. And you don't know it's fake or scripted when you're a kid. So I got into it and I just been watching it ever since. And that's pretty much it. It was a bonding thing for my dad and I. And then I just jumped in head first.
Yeah. And I think for us too, it was cool. Cool, because we came up in the Hulkamania era.
That's right.
And then the product evolved and aged with us. So at the time the Attitude Era came, we were the exact age that's what we wanted. So right. We were able to continue to watch wrestling through the years because the content evolved with us.
That's right. Because we never got a chance to like say we to quote outgrow it. Because the product changed, which was cool. But like, and then when the John Cena stuff happened, you know, we still watched because there's other wrestlers that were still good and everything like that. But the product is that's kind of where it is right now. The product is not evolving with the crowd, because a lot of the people that watched, I know I'm getting on a sidetrack here, but a lot of people that watch John Cena are adults now, or are getting to be adults. So, you know, you got to kind of like roll with the punches. And I think they're trying to do this now with Triple H. So we'll see how that goes.
We are, because Triple H's honeymoon is rapidly coming to an end as well.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to have to really, you know, deliver the goods, to say it nicely.
I'm going to be optimistic and say he will.
I am too.
I'm just going to keep it at that. But yeah, that was our mailbag for the day. If you want to get after us, you can get after me on Xander Hobbs on Instagram. That's XANDER_HOBBES. Same thing on the Twitter machine. Bobby, where can they find you?
Wrestleocalypse, spelled like it sounds, on the IG and the Twitter, but you know that because you're already listening to it. All right, next up, one of my favorite segments every week is the match of the week, where Xander goes sometimes way, way back, sometimes not as far back, into the deep archives on the interwebs of classic wrestling matches that everybody should at least watch once in their lifetime. And what did you choose for us this week?
We're going back to 1985. And that's Starrcade 1985. We have a U.S. title bout with Tully Blanchard, the champion, versus Magnum TA in an I Quit match. So I thought that this would be apropos because we just had an I Quit match last weekend. And I wanted to kind of make this one on here so we could kind of enjoy this match that I haven't seen in a long time, and also compare and contrast.
Yeah, I've never seen this match before today. I was one thing, like, just remembering how like big Tully Blanchard was back in the day.
Yeah.
Because like now we see him, he's like, you know, he's a very fit older gentleman, but he was a beefy dude, man.
Yeah.
And he wrestled with a nice, like, very powerful style.
Yeah, he was good. He was a technician. But did you notice that in this match they didn't throw one wrestling move or one hold? It was just all strikes.
No, I didn't. I was also taken aback by like how wimpy the steel cage looked. Like,
right, right. Yeah, they were
apparently what we're used to now.
Yeah. What'd you think about the match though?
I liked it. I think it's like, it's a great illustration of like in-ring storytelling.
It was. And like I said, the fact that they didn't even have a wrestling hold in there, showed like what like a match like this caliber is supposed to be.
Yeah, it's an I Quit match. It's like right now I have a pause and it's like, it looks like Tully Blanchard is trying to drive a stake into the face of MTA.
That was towards the end of this.
It's an I Quit match. You're not doing catch can. You're not locking up your finger holds, you know?
Nope. But yeah, which I liked it too. I hadn't seen it in a while. And I thought this would be a good match to bring up.
Yeah. And it goes to show like, you know, there's still a place for these gimmicky matches. But like,
yeah,
there has to be a certain amount of thoughtfulness, especially, and you have to have the right wrestlers to pull it off.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else you want to touch on 1985 United States title bout of Tully Blanchard versus Magnum TA?
No, other than that, if you want to really go back and bone up on your wrestling and stuff like that, check this out. You can find it on Daily Motion, and you can probably find it on Peacock on the WWE section in WCW's Starrcade section.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
All right, what are you watching this week?
So Halloween is still in the air. We watched the Peanuts movie to get starting it psyched up to watch The Great Pumpkin. We haven't watched that yet, but I did settle up for Apple TV. So now I can see the Peanuts stuff. But I thought it was really good. The Prodigy liked it kind of, but she got a little bored with it, which tends to happen with the movies with her.
Oh,
okay. We're watching this this show called I can't think of the name off it. It's a ghost show, and they're like exploring the mines of Butte, Montana. And it was pretty well done. I thought it was funny. It's called Ghosts of Devil's Perch. And it's on Discovery Plus. And it's like, you know, classic ghost hunting show. There's like, they have a medium. They have like an AV guy. They go out. But this one's kind of interesting because the sheriff called them in because they were getting too many reports of paranormal activity. And the sheriff didn't know what to do. So we just wrapping up, and it's a good watch. It's kind of mindless, but it's cool. I like it. We like the ghost shows. And then we're continuing on. I think I mentioned last week, I really like this Bobby's Triple Threat. It's got Voltaggio, Brooke Williamson, and Tiffany Derry. And they go up against the chef. It's three rounds. So that's a cool new take on a cooking show, cooking competition. And then I wrapped up the Chef's Table pizza season, which was phenomenal. It was so good. Just all the chefs that they highlighted and what they're doing is incredible. It makes me wish we had really good pizza around here, but we kind of have to try to travel a little bit, not too far, but a little bit to get a good slice of pie.
Yeah.
That's what we've been watching.
I've just been continuing on my 31 days of Halloween movies. And the latest one that was in the books was Freddy versus Jason. I have more that I've been watching, but I you have to follow my Instagram to get a load of those mm-hmm. and see what's going on there. But yeah, Freddy versus Jason, it was a cool movie. I saw it in the theater when it came out, and it was funny because Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child is in it. And spoiler alert, when she gets killed in the movie, everybody cheered in the theater. just like they did in House of Wax when Paris Hilton died. So I thought that was a little fun fact of Xander's movie going experience. But yeah, it's a fun movie. It's nothing scary. It's Freddy versus Jason fighting each other, and the humans are stuck in the middle. So check it out. It's on HBO Max.
Very cool. Very cool. And it looks like this is perfect timing. We're going to go move in to. We want to talk about our friends over at Millennium Pro Wrestling before we move on, because if you're in the Chatsworth, California area and you're looking for an activity to do on a Friday night, I think Millennium Pro Wrestling is exactly what you should be looking into.
Absolutely.
It's what show every Friday. When did the doors open?
7 p.m. bell time.
Yes. So 7 p.m. bell time. And then it's more than just the live shows. They also offer classes and shit like that. So if you really want to take the next level, get into the pro wrestling game, maybe just, run the ropes, get some cardio in, definitely check out Millennium Pro Wrestling. They really are keeping it, holding it down for local live wrestling in our area. So check them out.
All right. On to our next segment. We had just finished off week 6. The Chargers won in overtime against the Broncos. Very exhilarating game, not. But let's get into it.
Yeah, man. So
I think we should start. Sorry to cut you off. I think we should start this off with the game of the week. And that happens to be the game at Lambeau Field where the Jets of New York went up against the mighty Green Bay Packers. And what was the result of that game, Bobby?
Well, let me tell you, when you're a Jet from your first cigarette till your last dying day. And the Jets went to the frozen tundra and came out on top, which is awesome because, frankly, I can't stand the Green Bay Packers and their immunized quarterback. So I like seeing him, you know, being on the losing end. And so the Jets are second place in their division, the AFC East, behind the Buffalo Bills. They are at 4-2 and they're looking strong, you know.
They've won more games than they won last year already.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like, it seems like the drafts over the last couple of years have paid dividends with some good players, and
do you know
they're getting
crazy?
Some decent quarterback play.
They can lose
the coach
rest.
Matters a lot.
Yeah. They can lose the rest of the games of the season and it'll still be an improvement from last year. But yeah.
Yeah, but it's awesome. I mean, you know, tip of the cap to the New York Jets. Last week,
the other New York team won too.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately,
yeah, it's not good for us in Cowboy Land.
No, so the Dallas Cowboys went to Philadelphia and decided to fuck around and find out. And what they found out was that if they don't play in the first half, it's hard to win a football game.
Yeah.
So Philadelphia remains the lone undefeated team in the league. And Dallas falls to 4-2, which I think, you know, Jack Prescott, if you told Dallas fans they'd be 4-2 after week 6, people would take it. But unfortunately, the Giants are 5-1, which puts us in third place in the division. And again, we are now 2 losses behind the Philadelphia Eagles. So the NFC East, just crowded at the top. The Commanders, lowly 2-4. Their owner looks like is going to be having some legal issues coming up, as I saw that, you know, he did threaten. I think I read that he has dirt on the other owners and Goodell. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all goes down.
Yeah.
So a lot of intrigue in the NFC East. Some surprising finishes this week 6. Specifically, one that I was most surprised about was probably Pittsburgh coming up on top of Tampa Bay, 20-18.
What about the Colts? The Colts coming back and or just, you know, having that pass that Matty Ice threw. Remember?
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I think that maybe people were a little too high on Jacksonville, but they're definitely playing better than they did last year. Cause I mean, you can't play worse than if Urban Meyer's your coach.
No.
So, but yeah, Indianapolis, it's like they have a good record, but they just seem so uninspiring to me. Like I just don't feel like they can win anything.
No, you're right. You're probably right about that. The another surprise of the day, the Atlanta Falcons coming up on top against the 49ers. I don't think anybody saw that one coming.
No, but my understanding is the 49ers are basically decimated by injuries. And
that's true.
But I mean, true. It's crazy. They only scored 2 touchdowns and Jimmy G had 300 yards passing.
Huh.
So, but, you know, Cleveland showed who they probably are closer to reality. They got smashed on by New England. Cincinnati, hold on. I think New Orleans probably overplayed on that one.
Yeah. What else did we, who else did we miss?
I was, the Kansas City Buffalo game was good. Buffalo coming out on top 24-20.
Yeah, I saw that one. That was the night game. That was the night game. No, that wasn't that. Sorry,
no, it
Dallas
wasn't
was the night
game. Dallas
game. What am
was.
I talking about?
It was the after. It was the afternoon ABC or NBC game,
right?
Or I guess maybe it's not that. Maybe it's on, I don't know, fucking Prime or whatever.
It's on the CBS, whatever.
Yeah. But I think looking forward, you know, we're starting into bye weeks, which is important, this last one. But it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough for some of these teams to get into the playoffs, because if you're 3-3, it just seems like there's too many teams in front of you.
Yeah, that's why Dallas has to win these games. They have to win this one in Detroit. But I don't think, as of right now, they probably won't even make it if New York or Philadelphia keep winning. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Philly's got a bye this week, week 7. Like you said, Detroit's playing at Dallas. Green Bay is playing at Washington. So even Green Bay might get a win. Or maybe Washington will get a win. And then New York's playing at Jacksonville. So
New York's got a kind of an easy schedule, I feel like.
I think they do too. Well, hopefully this is Jacksonville. Like they play better at home or something. I don't know.
They just played Baltimore, so it's not that easy, I guess. But
yeah, Baltimore's like, I think Baltimore's really good. But then it's like, well, do you believe what you think, or do you believe like the actual records? And Baltimore has dropped some games, dude. Like,
it's true. I only look into the records so much. Because, you know, you have to look at the schedule and everything like that, too. And the division.
Yeah. I mean, they're 3-3. The Bengals are 3-3. And then the Browns and the Steelers are 2-4. So they're definitely Baltimore's top of their division. But like I said, they just don't seem like a dominant force, you know.
Right.
Maybe just because they're losing those close games. But right now, I think to wrap this up, I do have to say that week 7 MVP watch, I think definitely probably Jalen Hurts, the starting quarterback on the only undefeated team, probably, you know, looking like the leader so far, but it's early. I think that Josh Fields, the quarterback from not Josh Fields, Justin Fields. Thank you. Not Justin Fields. No, the quarterback from Buffalo. Can't wait to remember his name.
Allen. Josh Allen.
Thank you. Josh Allen. I think after beating Mahomes, he's got to be high up there.
Yeah.
You know, and then depending on how things go, you know, Herbert just led San Diego to an overtime victory. Depending on how they do in their division, he's got a lot of media attention on him, and probably the last to round him out. Yeah, I don't know, man. After that,
You pretty much handled it from right there, because I
maybe Mahomes, just because he's like a known quantity, but I'm only counting quarterbacks because it's seemingly only quarterbacks can win the MVPs these days.
Yeah.
So, all right. Another week in the books for the National Football League.
All right. Now that we're in the gorilla position, we're getting all warmed up. What are you coming out to this week?
I am coming out to a song from 2017, Epitaph Records. A band called Architects and a song called Doomsday. And you can check it out now. Boom. I like how Epitaph, nice. Like, they went in harder directions later on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, which is cool. Definitely. I'm coming out to one of my favorite bands. Their new album just dropped. It's called Omens. But the song I'm coming out to is called Vanishing, and it's by Lamb of God, who were just in this area on Thursday. And I missed the show because I thought it was going to be Saturday. So there's that. But you can hear that song and you can listen to me cry in the background right now. Yep, it's pretty much your run-of-the-mill Lamb of God. Really good album. You should check it out. The album's called Omens, and you can check all these songs out on Ballads of the Wrestlocalypse, our ever-growing Spotify playlist.
Yes, and we're wrapping up toward the end. We're getting into October. We do it by year, and this one is definitely... It'll take you in all sorts of different directions, which is awesome. Variety.
And all those links.
I do have to throw a flag.
Show notes. What?
Yeah. I'm sorry. All of the songs are in the show notes again, as well as our information. If you want to send us a question for the mailbag or comment or whatever, but we skipped Get Rid of One.
Oh, we did skip Get Rid of One. And we have to do that because it's my Get Rid of One.
Yeah.
And so I decided to be in the season of this, but I didn't want to make it so cliche. So we're going to get rid of one, but they're going to be Halloween candies, but not the ones, not the not so popular ones, not ones that you would like. So are we get, we maybe, but you know, some people like these stuff. Oh yeah. So are we getting rid of Almond Joy? Dots, everyone knows what dots are, right? Those little gelatinous things that get stuck in your teeth. Neckos, those like wafer candies. And then Good and Plenty, the black licorice flavored candy. Which one are we getting rid of?
So for me, I'm not getting rid of dots because I love gelatinous products. So that one's in always. I'm not getting rid of Almond Joy because Almond Joys have nuts. If you're talking about mounds, because they don't, would have done that. But I'm keeping Almond Joy, chocolate, and coconut, almonds. It's like an island treat.
Gross.
So it comes down to the Neckos and the Good and Plenty. Frankly, I don't like either of these. If I could get rid of two, if it was going to get rid of two, it would be better. But I think I have to go get rid of the chalk, the Neckos.
Yeah, good call.
Because I just can't get past the texture. At least like Good and Plenty's, it's like a better texture, and there's some payoff if you like black licorice. I understand, and you know, my dad loves black licorice. He used to like he'd have a bag of Good and Plenty's often around the house. But the Neckos things, it's like a really bad version of a bottle cap.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we have a friend that likes Good and Plenty and Neckos. Yeah, like old people candy. She likes probably like those butterscotch discs that
Or the little ones that look like strawberries.
Yes. Although I liked those. I like those ones. I like the strawberry ones. The butterscotch
discs. Yeah, they'll get stuck in your teeth too, though.
Yeah. But I'm getting rid of Almond Joy because it has almonds and I can't have that. And plus I don't like coconut on chocolate. I think that's gross. Yeah, even though all those other ones, what's that?
So that made it easy for you.
Yeah, but I wanted it to be obscure. Well, they're not obscure candies. They're just the not so popular Halloween candies. The ones that the last in the bag after you've been eating all the candy, those are the ones that linger around.
Yeah, or the house that you go to and you can tell that people just ran out that evening and tried to get a Halloween candy. And all they have is fucking Good and Plenty's and Neckos left.
Yeah, for sure. Did you watch Tales from the Territories?
I didn't. What is it on?
It's on Vice.
Okay, I have to look it up on Roku. I will watch that for next week. All right. I didn't get a chance to check it out. How many episodes are there?
It's there's an episode every Tuesday. So I've only halfway watched one of them. So I'm going to have to watch the rest of it so we can get into it.
Yeah. Cool. But, so it says there's two so far.
Okay.
I think so. That's what it says on Vice. They do Memphis. They do two in Memphis. And the second one is about Andy Kaufman.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, then we'll get those on for next week. But since we can't top that, yours truly, Xander Hobbs.
Ours truly in this life, Bobby B.
And we're here always to remind you is be kind to one another, be kind to the planet and the environment, and support the WrestleOclips.
Booyakasha.
Are you ready? Are you ready? You gonna do now? Breathe in, now breathe out. Hands up, now hands down. Back up, back up. Tell me what you gonna do now? You keep rolling, 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 rolling. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Y'all thought y'all were gonna see me? Check my dangerous slang, atrocious. When I let these nuts hang, focus. It's Wu-Tang. What the fuck's a hoodie and the puppet? I wave my black flag at the roaches who approaches. G-Twin, super soldier.